a sign that your faith is genuine, that it's real. Well, Paul gives a sign today in 2 Timothy chapter 1.
And what a beautiful book this is. He's writing to his young protege, would be. It's his protege. And Paul is the mentor in this.
That's right.
And it's very personal and yet very practical.
I said when we were 1 Timothy that, this is one of my favorite books. It's actually this book right here.
Yeah.
I messed it up. We went into 1 Timothy, but now 2 Timothy. That's just a beautiful book.
Yeah, it is. So, well, let's get started. Let me see how many verses we've got here.
We got 18
verses. So I'll go ahead and get started. Verse 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I've been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. I am writing to Timothy, my dear son. I love that the life he has promised. So he's promised us eternal life that begins now when we have faith in Jesus. It begins right now. We don't have to wait until we die, but it stretches on into eternity. It's forever. So great way to start this off. Verse 3 then. Timothy, I thank God for you. The God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did, night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. So pray for him all the time.
And you see that repeated, clear conscience was repeated in 1 Timothy. Now you see that again. Can you actually say that you live life with a clear conscience, that you serve God each day with a clear conscience? Is that something you can actually say?
And the best way to maintain a clear conscience is to keep your accounts short with God.
Yeah,
that when you've messed up, because you're going to, but when you've messed up, you got to deal with it right away.
That's right.
With the God that we have offended, as well as the other people, because typically when we sin, there's some other people that are affected by it.
That's right.
And so the right way to handle that is to not just confess it to God, but to also get to the people that we have hurt with our own sin and to confess and ask for their forgiveness. I long to see you again, he said, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois. And
did you get that?
Eunice.
You see what I remember your genuine faith. Why? Well, why is it genuine? For you share the faith. One way to know that your faith is genuine is you share it.
Yeah, that's a great thought. You certainly do. Of course, in this context, he's saying that you share the faith that was shared to you, in a sense, by your grandmother and your mother. You share their faith, in a sense, that they were the ones that passed it on to him.
Well, where does it say? I don't see that wording, though, Dad. It says, for you share the faith.
You share the faith that first filled.
I would have figured, that's the same faith that you share.
Yeah.
Are you just saying you share it with your grandmother and your mother? Or is he saying you share that faith with the faith that you also... that.
You know, I'd almost have to take a look at the grammar and to see if it would even differentiate it. Maybe just to kind of, I mean, the truth is it's both and.
Yeah,
because he came to faith because of his grandmother and his mother who were faithful in their witness to him. But he also was faithful in sharing it with others. So
it's interesting how you read that.
End.
I mean, I do like that because I guess I read it in hey, you share the faith, the faith that
came from your grandmother and mother.
That came from your grandmother and your mother.
Yeah.
But I guess some other translations say you share the faith with your grandmother.
Yeah, I'd almost have to look at it in the other translations, but it probably is where it's probably unclear.
Yeah.
And sometimes Paul was pretty good about doing a play on words like that.
Yeah.
Where there could be
Jesus,
a double meaning in things. Yeah, Jesus,
he
would have gotten that from Jesus. And that was actually a literary style back in the day.
Now you're getting a glimpse into when we talk about sermons. And I don't mean these in a negative way, but you and I will tend to get into these. I don't want to call them arguments because they're not, but they're discussions where we got to talk through wording and sentence structure and because we got to get the right meaning out of this.
Yep. Okay, so anyway, verse 5, I remember your genuine faith. Oh, no, I already read that. That also happens. I lose my place. This is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you.
What does that mean to fan into flame, Dad? We've talked about that in the past.
Yeah, I think that, I think that there's a metaphorical sense that he's talking about here this gift that was entrusted to him, because the laying on of hands seems to have been an endorsement.
Yeah.
That when a person, it's also a word that's used for ordination, that when you were ordained, there's the elders would place their hands on the person and pray for them and then entrust them with whatever ministry that they were given.
Yeah.
So Paul, we know, had become the pastor in Ephesus. It seems as though Timothy had become the pastor in Ephesus. So it seems that Paul was, in a sense, putting his stamp of approval on Timothy as a minister and as a Christian leader.
Yeah.
And this was, he was entrusting him with this gift of leadership. So now he's saying, fan that leadership gift into flames. Yeah. Like, get it going.
And I've read that before, because again, I love this book. I've read that before as almost like a craft your gift too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just fan into flame, like craft it, mm-hmm. get better at it, grow in it, and really struggle with it.
And I see it that way. Absolutely. Yeah. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of love, power, love, and self-discipline. So any of the fear that holds us back from doing the right thing and from stepping out and trusting him for hard things, that doesn't come from God. That comes from the evil one. He says God doesn't give us that fear. Instead, he's given us power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me. And that's a little bit what you were talking about earlier, about him sharing that faith. So don't be afraid to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. That is a different life, or a set-apart life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. Why don't you pick up from there?
And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way of life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. This is why I'm suffering here in prison, but I am not ashamed of it. For I know that the one whom I trust, and I'm sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return.
Yeah, that actually is a beautiful verse. I'm used to that in the old King James, where I had it memorized originally. And actually it was put to music. I remember kind of a contemporary Christian song from back, wouldn't be contemporary anymore, but from back in the late 70s, early 80s. But that's a beautiful verse there.
Isn't there
I know him who I've committed my life to, and that he's committed himself to me.
And isn't there some who believe that this is the last book that Paul would have written before his death?
Well, it's one of the last ones. I think 2 Thessalonians is the swan song of Paul's writing, so I believe that. But I do, you know, you may be right about that, Junior, because it seems to me that there was some debate between these two books. Yeah. Okay. But it's one of the last ones. Yeah.
Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. This is something that try to tell some of the younger preachers on staff. Dad, we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. too, of like, take the baton from the older and faithful generation, mm-hmm. instead of trying to pave your own way and do things differently just to be different and creative in you. Oh, like, I love that he says it. Hold on to the pattern. Wholesome teaching.
Yeah, we have centuries old faith, and while we don't maintain all the traditions because culture has changed, we do have so many things that we're to hold on to. I mean, we still love. I mean, we did a series on the Apostles' Creed, which goes back prior to the establishment of organized, you know, that's Catholicism.
Right. Yeah,
that we think the tradition goes back to the apostles, and so we shouldn't be afraid of that.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even, how do you say that?
I don't know.
Phlegis?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Hermogenes?
Yeah.
Hermogenes?
Hermogenes? I don't know, yeah.
May the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus.
I've heard Onesiphorus. And I'm trying to think, there was the character behind him. That's not the same as Philemon.
Not Onesimus.
Onesimus, no, yeah. Onesiphorus. Okay,
And all his family, because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's mm-hmm. return. And you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus.
Yeah, I'd love to think about how these people were real people.
Yeah.
How they lived in the town that we were just at. We were just there in Ephesus and walked those same streets that we walked. And these are real people. And Paul lifts him up as being someone who's
faithful.
And Paul
does point up, you know, maybe Dad, as pastors, we kind of know this, but I think everybody kind of feels this. He also points out, hey, there's two who deserted me.
Yeah.
And that hurts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember one pastor saying sometimes the most hurtful things in ministry are those who you thought would be with you long term and they take off. And Paul's experiencing that. He's like, man, they deserted me. But this Onesiphorus was a huge encouragement.
Absolutely. Yeah, the greatest joys that I've had are the people that I've known in ministry for a long time, and people even here at the Bridge that have been here and been faithful for many, many, many years.
And
then there are those that, I thought would have been and wound up really hurting.
Yeah.
And hurting not just me, but others.
Yeah. Was it Rick Warren that says his ministry, it's almost like a parade. You see faces come and go all the time.
Yeah.
But the ones who are with you from beginning to end are extremely precious.
Mm, yeah. That's a great quote, but it's my own experience as well.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get over to Proverbs. And we're in Proverbs 15, as today is the 15th. And the great chapter, read the whole chapter, but I want to highlight verse 12. It says, mockers don't love those who rebuke them, so they stay away from the wise. Mockers don't love those who rebuke them, so they stay away from the wise. Yeah. I know one of your favorite verses is faithful out of the wounds of a friend,
yeah,
the enemies of a kiss.
Oh, well, we celebrated your birthday today in staff meeting, and yeah. Denim, our campus pastor at Des Plaines, had brought
quoted
that up.
That verse, yeah.
It's like, when I think of Scott, I think of a friend who wounds. But he meant that in the most kindest of ways.
Oh, I know he did.
You know, you started tearing up saying, we've got some hard conversations.
Yeah, but. Some of the staff members that are producing the most have had been involved in the toughest conversations, because I only have tough conversations with those that I believe I can trust with those conversations.
And yeah.
So it's important. But mockers, no, they want, you know, they don't want any kind of correction. They'll just get
they actually stay away from leadership. That's the way to know you're a mocker, is you don't want to be around the leaders.
You don't want to be led. If you don't want to be led, you're a mocker.
Yeah.
And you're a fool, according to Proverbs.
That's right. All right. Well, speaking of fools, today is National Tax Day.
So I joke.
Yeah. It is National Tax Day. So if you haven't gotten your taxes done, take this as a
better get on it.
Reminder from between the lines. You should get that done today. If you already have it done. Today is National Laundry Day. Just as fun doing laundry
is
and paying
really?
Taxes. Yeah, National Laundry. I figured that's like every day. I don't know.
Yeah, you know your mom. She does laundry every single day, and she actually enjoys it.
Yeah,
it's like she's a little
cleansing
when there's no laundry to do.
Yeah, I'll start shipping her my daughter's.
All right. Well, it's good being with you again today,
that's
and we look forward to tomorrow.
God bless.